Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Australia announced plans to ban recreational vaping earlier this week in the biggest crackdown on the tobacco industry in more than a decade. The wide-ranging package of government measures which will require vapes to be sold only in pharmacies has been introduced in an effort to stop the alarming rise in teenage vaping. Well, here in Ireland, minors will be prohibited from buying e-cigarettes from July. But should we follow in Australia's footsteps and ban recreational vaping altogether? Well, I'm joined on the line by Dr. Garrett McGovern, a GP specialising in addiction medicine and medical director at the Priority Medical Clinic in Dundrum. I'm also joined by Dr. Sandro De Maio, who is a public health expert and CEO of VicHealth, the Victorian Health Promotion Foundation in Australia. And you're both welcome. Dr. De Maio, to you first in Australia. How serious an issue are you facing with teen vaping where you are?
Oh, this is an extremely serious issue. In fact, when we speak to principals across schools in my state, it's the number one behavioural issue in schools. Schools are having to put sensors in their school grounds, banning bathroom breaks during school hour, you know, during class time, because kids, kids are getting access to e-cigarettes. And the latest data in Australia, in the state of New South Wales, shows that about a third of teenagers aged between 12 and 15 have used an e-cigarette. 80% find them easy to get. And we know that they're a gateway to cigarettes. Young people who use e-cigarettes are three times more likely to go on to smoke traditional cigarettes.
And what are you hearing from the people who are manning and running addiction helplines?
Well, I mean, the announcements of the policies this week from government really balance both protecting young people, but also, of course, allowing and improving, in fact, access for adults who want to use e-cigarettes as a last line effort to quit smoking. And so, you know, we do need to look at making sure that, you know, if your average Aussie who's 65 years old and been smoking for 30 years, tried everything else and cannot quit smoking, that these products are available. But they don't need to be flavoured like Fruit Loops and milk. They don't need to be bright pink and, you know, look like a highlighter pen. And they don't need to be sold, you know, on every corner store, including around increasingly primary schools to do that. So this is a balanced package that protects young people, but of course supports people looking to quit cigarettes, and also does that through a consultation with a doctor, which is really important, because people who have been smoking for 30 years, you know, they need to have a chat with their doctor. There are other health risks that come with smoking, including cancer and heart disease, and it's an important opportunity to check in with your doctor as you're looking to quit through e-cigarettes.
And the measures that have been announced by the Australian government, they will go further than any other vaping legislation in the world at this point.
That's right. Yeah, look, Australia really set the tone for globally for tobacco policy a decade when we brought plain packaging in. If you think back to 25 years ago, you could light up on an aeroplane. The idea of smoking on an aeroplane today is absolutely absurd. Australia has led the way in reshaping norms and curbing the harms of a product, you know, cigarettes, which kill two in three of their long-term regular users if used exactly as intended by the manufacturer and by this global industry. So the Australian government have announced new protections to reduce tobacco, including increasing the tax excise once again, but also supporting people to quit through a brand new and large investment in tobacco cessation supports, a major new campaign as well to raise awareness of tobacco and e-cigarettes. But we need to make sure that we don't end up with an entirely new generation of young people addicted to nicotine, which is the path that we were on in Australia. It's the path that most countries are on. And it's a path that leads to a reawakening and really a very profitable future for the tobacco industry, which, you know, we need to make sure doesn't happen, because that pathway is going to come at the cost of young people and at the cost of Australian lives.
Okay, well, let's hear from Dr. Garrett McGovern on this now. Garrett, we know that the vaping ban is going to come in for minors from July here in Ireland. How do you feel about Sandro's assertion that this is essentially a gateway product and it will create a new generation of smokers?
I don't think there's any real hard empirical evidence of a gateway theory for anything. I work in the whole drug addiction, harm reduction space, and I've been there for 25 years. The idea of one drug sequentially leading to another really just doesn't stack up. It's more likely a phenomenon Claire called common liability, which is people will try things, kids will try things, they'll experiment with things. For most people, it'll be a rite of passage. We don't tend to, for instance, we often talk about cannabis as a gateway drug, but a lot of people will have probably smoked before they've taken cannabis, and we don't talk about cannabis or smoking being a gateway drug to heroin. So the gateway theory really just doesn't stack up for me. In relation to a lot of the other issues, the way they have approached this in Australia is that on the surface it sounds very sensible. You know, you protect children and people will go to a doctor and they'll talk to a doctor and get advice. The reality of it is all you're doing is putting another barrier in the way of smokers. Smoking is, as Dr. DeMaio says, a very, very devastating habit which will kill the vast majority of the users who are dependent on it. And putting a barrier in the way of going to a doctor. There's a lot of doctors in this country are not particularly well disposed towards vaping. They're not particularly knowledgeable in vaping. And a lot of them will probably not actually prescribe vaping to a smoker. So we're putting a barrier, plus general practice are pretty overburdened with other work anyway. I just think that we should make it as easy as possible. A lot of the people who have tried electronic cigarettes, it's anywhere between 150,000 and 200,000 Irish smokers. The vast majority are using it as a smoking cessation tool, Claire. They're not. Yes, there are children, people below the age of 18, but you know we don't have an age restriction as of yet, which is quite bizarre, to be honest with you.
We will have a vaping ban in force for minors from July in this country, won't we? Do you recognise that there is a significant problem in Ireland with young teenagers who are vaping pretty much all of the time? I mean, Sandro mentioned it's a behavioural issue in Australian schools. We've heard the same here.
There's about 4.6% of people, of young people below the age of 18 who are vaping every day or vaping almost every day. There's no doubt about that. We absolutely, I mean, you talked on the top of the program about should we ban recreational vaping. I don't think vaping should be used recreationally, but as a smoking cessation tool, it can definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, help people. We're taking our eye off the ball here in many ways, Claire, because we have still too many people, too many young people have been initiated to smoking, and the conversation has moved from vaping in young people to smoking. There's still too many young people taking up a smoking habit, and we're trying to get, you know, by 2038 to a smoking-free Ireland. We need to really get barriers out of the way to do that.
Okay, but smoking, the rate of smoking amongst 15 to 16-year-olds, Garrett, it's increasing now. That's increasing for the first time in 25 years. To what do you attribute that, if not vaping?
Well, we say it's vaping, but I don't think there's any great evidence that vaping leads to smoking. Young people will try things, and who knows what the reasons are why there's a slight increase in it. We need, you know, better education and better awareness around smoking. But we kind of have this idea now that vaping and smoking are sort of comparable harms. They're not comparable harms. They're vastly different.
Sandro, do you have evidence that vaping leads to smoking?
We do. And I mean, this is honestly the framing that we heard from people in Australia, and it's very, very unhelpful. I mean, this idea that young people will try things. We don't allow young people to try walking on the freeway or young people to drive in a car whatever speed they want. I mean, we put protections in place, you know, even what toys we produce, because we know that there are choking hazards. There are all sorts of protections we put in place to protect young people. And the idea that we just let young people are going to do what they're going to do, and therefore we unleash these products that have incredible links to tobacco industry. It took us 50 years to undo the devastation of unleashing cigarettes on the population, and we're still dealing with the consequences. The idea that 4.6, I mean, that statistic of that your colleagues makes it sound as though 4.6, one in 20 young Irish people are currently using these products on a daily basis. That's a disaster. That's not a good statistic.
Why is it a disaster, though, Sandro? What is harmful about vaping? What do we know about the damages that vaping can do?
So first of all, we don't know the long-term health consequences, as we didn't with tobacco. And it took us 30 years to realise, and in fact the industry hid it for most of that time, that cigarettes are associated with lung cancer. But these products do contain more than 200 chemicals. They contain chemicals that are found in paint thinner and nail stripper. They contain chemicals that are known to be associated with damage to the brain, cancer, and nicotine alone has an impact, as your colleague will absolutely know, on the developing brain. The brain doesn't stop developing until, you know, around 25 to 30 years old. And if you've got one in 20 young people, and let's be honest, the number will be much, much higher than that. It's probably self-reported and incredibly underreported. So, you know, if you think the number is even higher, but let's assume it's one in 25% of young people across your country addicted every day using these products, having an influence on their development, on their brain, on their psychology, and on their long-term trajectory. That's a huge problem. And the idea also that we can't do two things at once is absolute nonsense. We know what works for smoking. We for cigarettes, we have a package of interventions through the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control that are effective. And we have one of the lowest smoking rates in the world here in Australia. But the government's not saying, oh, well, let's just focus on one thing and we can't do sort of two things at once. The government does lots of things at once. And we can't simply rest, you know, focus on cigarettes at the cost of e-cigarettes. We need to be able to do both, and a mature government absolutely can do both.
And do you agree that vapes can be used for smoking cessation reasons?
Absolutely, absolutely. And look, there's not actually very good evidence that they're good at it. And most people who do use e-cigarettes to get off cigarettes are still using e-cigarettes a year later. So they don't actually drop the nicotine habit, but it is a way of getting off cigarettes. And as a doctor, I absolutely endorse and acknowledge that. And that's why the pathway in Australia exists. And in fact, the Australian government have made it even easier in these latest changes to get access to e-cigarettes for the sole purpose of getting off tobacco. But that needs to be done through a doctor. There's no reason it needs to have a unicorn on the packaging. There's no reason it needs to be flavoured like Fruit Loops and milk, or come looking like a highlighter pen or a hoodie toggle. That is quite honestly, obviously designed to smuggle into school and to get young people addicted. This is the same playbook that the tobacco industry used 30 years ago, and we are walking into the same devastation.
Okay, so Gareth, we're falling for the same old tricks.
Well, you can't have it both ways, Dr. Mayo. You can't on one hand say that electronic cigarettes have a role in smoking cessation and then talk about a tobacco playbook. So stop trying to portray the two things as harmful. Let me finish.
They're going to be available through a prescription pathway like other tobacco cessation
tools. That's going to stop smokers being able to access them. You're putting another barrier.
Where is the evidence of that? And we know that these products are a gateway for young people. We know that in Ireland...
They're not a gateway. You keep mentioning a gateway. There's been several studies done. There's a study done at University College Dublin recently that did not support your evidence.
The study done
from
the Australian National University does.
It's evidence that a government has taken action on. Isn't that right? Because you like the evidence. I'm pretty open about the idea that I do not want young people vaping. Quite rightly, I don't want young people vaping. We need an age restriction, which we don't have. But we do not need to put interventions in place to protect 1% of electronic cigarette smokers, when the other 99% that are using it for smoking cessation are going to reduce the access to them.
The single largest user group of these products in Australia are 18 to 25. So it's not 1%. The majority, in fact, of users are young people in Australia. Most of them have never used a cigarette in their life.
The vast majority are for smoking cessation.
You're saying 1% are addicted. Is that what you're saying, Gareth?
No, what I'm saying is that of the people who are using those products in this country, the vast majority of them, easily up to about 98-99% of them, are using them for smoking cessation. Yes, there is a small number of young people who are using them recreationally, even beyond the age of 18. But we're going to put barriers in the way of people. I think it works reasonably well. In relation to the point that Dr. DeMayo makes about branding, I absolutely agree. There should be no attractive branding. But that has fallen down. In Australia, if it's fallen down, it's fallen down at the point of sale. How are young people getting access to these things?
And you believe that having these available only through prescription will restrict access for those people who want to use them to stop smoking cigarettes?
I absolutely do, Claire. I've been in addiction treatment for 25 years. Very, very few people come to talk to anybody about quitting smoking. The idea they're going to go to a doctor and sit in a room when they can go to a stockist and get an electronic cigarette is just nonsense.
Sandra, what do you to say to that point, that this will, removing the access from retail shops, forcing people to go to a GP, might just mean that they stay smoking cigarettes for longer?
Well, cigarette smoking rates in Australia are among the lowest in the world. The package of interventions that we took to the world, including plain packaging, are working very well. And we every year on year, those numbers come down. Now, absolutely, we'd like to see those numbers go further, and they will. But, you know, that involves continuing to ratchet up the tools we have. The idea that we can't do two things at once, and the assertion that it's only, I mean, I didn't really understand the percentages there, because if 5% of your young people are smoking, I don't understand how 99% of people are using them to quit smoking. Using e-cigarettes, and 99% are using them to quit smoking. But in Australia, the single largest user group of e-cigarettes are 18 to 24. It is the single largest behavioural issue in schools. This is not a marginal issue. The tobacco industry will try and make it sound like it's a small marginal issue, and it's not anything to worry about. It is absolutely something to worry about. We don't know the long-term consequences of these products, and there is an explosion of use in many markets around the world, including in Australia. I can't comment on Ireland. I'm not an expert on Ireland, but in Australia, the vast majority are 18 to 24-year-olds, and they've never touched a cigarette, but they absolutely are now very addicted to e-cigarettes. And the data that we have from the Australian National University, from one of the expert research centres in the world, is that it is a gateway to cigarettes.
Okay. Gareth, can I ask you a question about what's in these cigarettes? Because Sandro talked about the chemicals in there and the fact that we don't have long-term results to see what damage they're doing. You say that there have been no nicotine-related deaths, or you're not aware of any nicotine-related deaths.
I mean, just be very clear on this, Claire. Nicotine on its own, I want to make this very, very, very clear. Nicotine on its own, as in nicotine replacement therapy, is pretty harmless. The idea, by the way, Dr. DeMayo mentioned about damaging the developing brain. I mean, most of the studies that have been done on nicotine in relation to brains has been done on rats. The idea that nicotine is damaging young brains, the evidence for that is thin, to say the least. And again, we're moving away from the real central issue here, and that is smoking. Smoking in Ireland kills 6,000 people a year. Let me finish. You're allowed to talk. I'm talking.
Sure.
It kills 6,000 people a year. We have hospitals up and down this country that one way or the other will have as a risk factor for the disease, whether it be cancer, heart disease, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, smoking as a central. We need, that is the enemy. That is what we need to do, and we need to pull out all the stops to get that prevalence figure down in this country.
But you don't see vapes as being harmful?
Okay, let me answer this, okay, very clearly. I work in a space which is harm reduction, and I keep hearing this idea that you're telling people who are smoking you're encouraging them to take up a habit that we don't know what the harms are. We're about 20 years in. Dr. DeMayo mentioned 30 years for tobacco. We're about 20 years in. There hasn't been a huge amount of harms in 20 years, I have to say. And you have to remember, in that time, there are people who have stopped smoking and got great benefit out of vaping, but also there are smokers that
are doubt has been created in their mind. If we don't know the harms, but we certainly know the harms of smoking, switch, at least switch until we know more.
All right, we'll leave that one there. But thank you both for joining us, Dr. Garrett McGovern and Dr. Sandro De Maio, on that Australian decision to ban recreational vaping. Thank you both very much for your time.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.